Jesus gave his life for me to take my life from me so he could live his life through me. How much more? How many of you here today have stayed up too late and got yourself caught watching an infomercial? All right, now this is going to tell you if you're my people or not. How many of you have ever seen a commercial where they have a vacuum cleaner attached to some hair clippers called a Flovi? All right, you are my people. I remember one night staying up, and I was tired, but the commercial came on, and I watched them cut this guy's hair with a vacuum cleaner and a set of clippers, and I thought to myself, I need one of those. But the one that is so famous, and all of you should be able to remember this one, is the Ginzu. You remember that knife? That knife was amazing. You watched it. I watched that commercial at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I began to get out my credit card, and I began to think, I need a Ginzu, because the guy told me it's the only knife I will ever need. And I watched him cut a shoe with that knife. And then he sliced through a tomato. And I thought, who would want to eat a tomato that's been cut with a knife that just cut a shoe? But here's the key. Here's the reason I put my credit card away. He told me it was the sharpest knife ever. It would never go dull. You could cut down a tree with this knife and still slice your vegetables. But he said, wait, there's more. And he threw in a case for that knife, and he threw in some other things. And then he said, wait, there's more. And he threw in a knife sharpener. And if it's the only knife you ever need that never gets dull, why do you need a knife sharpener? And I'm thinking, that is great advertisement. You see, in the Bible, there is a phrase that says, how much more. It's only 18 times in the Bible. And 4 of those times are in the book of Proverbs, and 4 of those times are in the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, we have 3 of those times where Paul's writing and he says, how much more? As a matter of fact, if you got your bulletin, you can look at the scripture. I want you to see this in here. He says in verse 9, and it says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You see, all of us in here know that Christ died to bring us salvation. As a matter of fact, this time of the year, you'll see crosses. And that cross represents the death and the suffering of Jesus. But Paul says, wait, there's more. You see, Christ is risen. And if we have been reconciled through his death, how much more are we reconciled through his life. And that needs to be the story of Easter. But you see, the problem I think we have today is that a lot of us don't recognize that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is working in us, that Jesus is working through us. I know people who have spent their entire life and they come to church, they're a part of a church, they come to worship, they sing the songs, they bow their heads when the time comes for the prayer, but they haven't figured out that they're worshiping an alive Jesus, one that has been resurrected from the dead. They're thankful for the salvation. They're thankful for the things that Jesus did on the cross so that they could receive a home in heaven, but they haven't figured out that how much more. And today, I want you to look at your message notes and I want you to see what the gospel is about. You see, in your lesson notes, Jesus gave his life for me to take my life from me so he could live his life through me. How much more? Have you ever had, maybe in elementary school or maybe middle school, I remember a kid in middle school, and this kid was socially awkward, and he didn't really have a lot of friends, but he talked to everybody. He would come up and he would talk to you, and you would ignore him, and he'd still be talking. And a lot of times he'd just talk to himself. Well, I had a kid in school like that. Did any of you have somebody in school like that? Well, there's this one kid named Cletus that I heard about. And I had to call him Cletus because any other name, is there anybody in here named Cletus today? Because if I call him Jason, there's a lot of Jasons in here. But Cletus, it's a fictional name, by the way. Cletus is in school and he's sitting next to you and he starts telling you about he's going to the Magic Kingdom tomorrow. And you've heard Cletus all your life, and you kind of ignore him. And finally, Cletus says, no, really, I'm going. And you say, Cletus, you're not going to the Magic Kingdom tomorrow. We got school tomorrow. You're not going to do that. Cletus says, no, I'm going. And he continues to talk about it, and you continue to ignore him. Cletus is sitting there in class, and he's singing, it's a small world after all. And you can thank me later on the day when you're singing, it's a small world. Every time anybody sings that, that's all I hear in my head for the rest of the day. But Cletus is singing the song, and he's so excited about going to the kingdom and getting to see everything. He's talking about how his parents have got the tickets, and they're going. And he gets so excited, and the next day you go to school. About third period, you realize that Cletus is not there. And you think, well, maybe, just maybe, Cletus did get to go to the Magic Kingdom. And so Friday comes around and Cletus is back in school. And Cletus has got on Mickey Mouse ears. And you look at Cletus for the first time and you say, Cletus, did you get to go? He says, it was the most amazing thing. We got to go to the Magic Kingdom. And he says, well, what was it like? He said, well, you know, they got that big parking lot. And it took us a little while to get in because there was a lot of cars and everything. And we went to the gate. We walked up to the gate. And we rode that little tram thing and got there to the gate. We walked up to the gate. We got to the gate. And you know, they got flowers everywhere. And we got to get in that gate. And they punched our tickets. And it was just really, really great. Well, Cletus, what did you see? He said, well, we got into the gate, and there was this grass area right up front, and you know they have flowers and everything there, and my mom, and she got out a blanket, and my dad spread it out, and we got the cooler, and we sat there. Well, Cletus, what rides did you ride? We didn't ride any rides. We just stayed right there at the gate. Well, Cletus, didn't they give you a map that you could look at and you could go and you could see where the rides were? And Cletus says, no, well, we got a map, but and it had pretty pictures on it. But we never went to any of the places on the map. We just spent the entire day sitting in the grass having a picnic. And you say, Cletus, was that fun? And Cletus says, no, it really wasn't as exciting as I heard other people tell about it. And you would say, Cletus, your family is dumber than a box of rocks. But there are many Christians who've gotten into the gate. They're still sitting at the gate. And they wonder why when they come to worship, they think to themselves, well, this is nice. These people sound, well, y'all sound really good today. Some days not so good. When you sing. And you wonder why Christianity hasn't made a difference in your life. And I would say it's because I want you to hear today is that his death changes where I'm going, but it is his life who changes who I am.
Amen.
You see, it's one thing to be saved, but it is another thing to be changed. You see, a lot of us are still fighting sin in our life. We've tried, we've done what we can, but we have not started worshiping a Jesus that's been resurrected. Just the decision that I don't want to go to hell. Jesus gave his life for me to take my life from me so that he could live his life through me. His death allowed me to become a Christian. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we do here is when we teach you about becoming a Christian, we teach you about baptism. And one of the things about baptism is you need to know is when you're baptized, you are reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. As a matter of fact, baptism is so important to the Christian walk. In the early church, this is the only way they knew that you were really committed. Because what you're doing is you're going down into the water and you're saying, I am killing myself so that Christ can live in me. And when I kill myself, I go down in the water and I'm buried in the water like Christ was buried in the grave. And fortunately for you, we don't hold you under for 3 days. And we pull you up out of the water. But so that Christ can continue to live in you. You see, his death allows me to become a Christian. His life allows me to be the Christian that I've become. You see, Jesus gave his life for me to take my life from me. So that he could live his life through me. Death made heaven my home, amen? But his life gives this life meaning. Many of you know my father is about to pass away from cancer. And I appreciate so much the love and the support that I've gotten from many of you and the prayers and the things that are going on. And I have a few friends that are not Christian, and they're very upset for me, and I appreciate that. And here is the thing that I want you to know, that as much as I'm going to miss my father, his life had meaning, and his death is just the beginning of his real life.
Amen.
And while I will miss him and I will grieve him, I know that I will see him again.
Amen.
In heaven.
Yes.
And so therefore, as the apostle says, I do not grieve like the rest of men.
Amen.
Who have no hope.
Amen.
His death got me out of hell and into heaven. And his life gets God out of heaven and into me. Jesus gave his life for me to take my life from me so that he could live his life through me. His death forgave my sins, but it is his life that gives us power over sin. You see, Jesus gave his life for me to take my life from me so he could live his life through me. There is so much more to Christ's resurrection than there is just to his death. There's so much more that I would like to share with you today. But I know something that is a fact of life. The mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. So I'm going to invite you back next Sunday to learn how Christ lives in me and how Christ can live in you. And how his death can save you from your sins, but his life can bring your life meaning. And I would invite you to come back. And if you are wanting to learn how to be a Christian, I want to tell you that this church uses the Bible and only the Bible to teach how to become a Christian. I'll never forget one time some years ago, a good friend of mine, her daughter is actually in the audience today, and she had been studying with a group of people who claimed to be Christians, and she found out what they were teaching was not in the Bible. And she came to church one Sunday and heard me preach, and after she heard me preach, she decided that she wanted to know more, but she wanted to make sure she was hearing the truth. So she came in my office, she leaned over my desk, and she says, I want to know how to be a Christian. And she pointed her finger at me. And she said to me, you'd better not lie. And we opened up the Bible, and we went through God's Word, and I never commented. I just gave her the scriptures, and she decided that I was telling the truth because I was using the truth. I cannot tell you what it means to me to have you here today. Members, I love you. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you, especially during this difficult time. Visitors, you have done more to thrill my soul today than you'll ever know. And for those of you who are watching online, let me get real close to the camera here so you guys can see me. But I love you too, and I thank you for being a part of things. Now, normally we keep these guys in the back because they're, you can tell by looking at them, we need to keep them in the back. But let's give them a hand for all that they do. One of the things that we do as a church is we do an invitation. We sing an invitation song. Depending on how you grew up and what happened in your life, you may have heard it as an altar call. We don't have an altar up here. We have a kneel, but that's it. But if you're here today and your name is not Cletus, I want to invite you to respond to the Lord's invitation. And that response can be a number of things. It may be you're just a little more curious about what God has to say in His Word. It may be that you have become a Christian and you want to rethink some of the things in your life. It may be that you've been thinking about baptism and never decided to do that. It may be that you just need some support and encouragement. You can come in a public way, but what I always ask in my invitation is that you respond in a private way, at least, to the message that's come to you today. Jason.